Thank you, Daniel, for reading from the book of Luke chapter 4. It's an example of what John spoke of in John chapter 1 and verse 11, where Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Luke 4 and verse 16 reports that Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. In verse 28, all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Imagine those to whom Jesus was speaking, ready to throw him off the cliff, if you will. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, and the Bible reports that they were astonished at his doctrine, that is, his teaching, for his word was with power. That's Luke 4 and in verse 32. To impress us with the great power of the Lord's word, I'm directing our attention this afternoon to Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Matthew tells us, when the even was come, they brought unto him, that is Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and bare our sicknesses. If you have your own Bible, you might like to underscore in verse 16 the expression, with his word. I'm calling to mind a number of things that have been accomplished with his word. Several of those are related to us in Matthew chapter 8, and then we'll look to other passages for some other points. But with his word, first of all, a leper was made clean. The more I read Matthew 8, I see the emphasis that is placed upon the word of Jesus. Beginning in verse 1 of Matthew 8, we read, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Just put yourself in the place of this leper for a moment. Would you have had the faith that he had? Would you have had confidence? Would you have been able to make the statement, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean? He knew that Jesus could do more for him than anybody else. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. In Mark's account of this in chapter 1 and in verse 41, he tells us that Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And so expressed in the cleansing of this leper is the compassion of our Lord. And notice the results were instantaneous. The Bible says immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This was a skin disease for which there was no cure. But I want you to be impressed with the fact that with his word, that is the word of Jesus, a leper was made clean. And unlike those who propose to have healing powers today, Jesus did not do his work for fame or notoriety. He said in verse 4, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But not only was a leper made clean with his word, but with his word a centurion's servant was healed. Drop down with me now to verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. A centurion was a Roman officer that was the commander of 100 men, thus centurion, centurion. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. Notice emphasis on the word. He had faith that Jesus didn't have to come, that his bodily presence was not required for his servant to be healed. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That challenges my faith. How about you? Would you have had that kind of faith? He said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Jesus took note of this man's faith. The Bible says in verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And notice in verse 13, his servant was healed when? In the selfsame hour. That's equivalent of what we saw earlier with reference to the leper that was made clean immediately. And so the miracles of Jesus brought instantaneous results, didn't they? And so be impressed with the fact that with his word, a centurion servant was healed. But furthermore, from Matthew chapter 8, with his word, a fever left Peter's wife's mother. In verse 14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. While we're there, it's a good time to recognize that Peter must have been a married man, as the Bible talks about his wife's mother. And so he could not have been the first pope, could he? You know, in verse 15, the Bible says of Jesus, he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Somebody might say, well, wait a minute, I thought the emphasis was on his word and the things accomplished with his word. As you read the parallel account in Luke chapter 4 and verse 39, Luke informs us that Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. And so with his word, a fever left Peter's wife's mother. But again, from Matthew chapter 8, with his word, spirits were cast out. In our text with which we started the study, verses 16 and 17, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. This was in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And so with his word, prophecy was fulfilled. As verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. And later in this chapter, we see an example of spirits being cast out with his word. When you drop down to verse 28, when he was come to the other side, that is the other side of the lake, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. Now, I want you to stop there for just a moment and realize that one of the evidences of the fact that Jesus was indeed the Son of God is that the devils recognized who he was. The spirits referred to him as Jesus, thou Son of God. And yet there are those today who would deny the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Yet James said the devils believe and tremble. And so faith in the sonship of Jesus in and of itself is not enough. You see then how that by works a man is justified, James said, and not by faith only, James 2 and verse 24. And the devils besought him, saying in verse 31, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And notice the response in verse 32, where Jesus said unto them, go. Jesus had but to say the word go. Two letters, G-O, and what happened? When they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down into a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Wouldn't you like to see that? Wouldn't you have liked to have been there when the whole city came out to meet Jesus? And when they saw him, unfortunately, the Bible says they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. But with his word, unclean spirits were cast out. Spirits seem to be a unique phenomenon during the life of Christ that served to manifest his glory. But not only were spirits cast out with his word all that were sick were healed. He is the great physician. Matthew 8 and verse 16 talks about he cast out the spirits with his word and what? What's the rest of that? Healed all that were sick. You might circle that word all. All that were sick were healed. If you'll back up to Matthew chapter 4, and in verse 23, you read where Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Underscore all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. There was no sickness, no disease that was too great for Jesus to heal with his word. But again in Matthew chapter 8, take note of something else that happened with his word. In verse 18, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And according to verse 23, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Mark chapter 4 and verse 39 reports that he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And in Mark 4 and verse 41, they said, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wonderful things that were accomplished with his word. And I suggest to you that those things could not happen with your word. That would not be possible with my word. And that wouldn't be possible with the word of the Roman pontiff. That wouldn't have been accomplished with the word of Muhammad or the word of Buddha. No, it is with his word that all of these things were accomplished. But as I began to explore this expression with his word, it occurred to me that there are a number of other things that are accomplished with his word, and I'd like to share some of those with us. With his word, the Bible teaches that life is given. In John 5, 24 and 25, Jesus declared, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Without the word of Christ, we're dead, spiritually dead in sin. In fact, Paul pointed that out in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, You that were dead in trespasses and sins, yet now he hath quickened, that is, to be made alive. And the psalmist talked about how that we're quickened in Psalm 119 through his word. That's the very reason that Jesus came, so that you and I can have life, spiritual life. In John 10 and verse 10, the Lord said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. But it's not enough for us to just hear his word or even have faith in his word, but we must be keepers of his word. John 8 and in verse 51 finds Jesus declaring, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And that, my friends, is the very essence of obedience. It involves us being keepers of his word. And so with his word, life is given as we hear, believe, and obey it. But also with his word, the scriptures indicate that we are made clean. In John 15 and in verse 3, Jesus said, Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And there's a real need and demand for us to be made clean, because there are things that would cause us to be unclean or to be defiled. And Jesus made reference to that in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. We talked about those things which proceed out of the mouth, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. And he mentioned such things as evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. He said, these are the things which defile a man. But the good news is, you don't have to remain in that unclean state. You can be made clean. You can be set free from that defilement. And the power is with his word. To be made clean is to be sanctified. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 32, when Paul met with the Ephesian elders, he said, And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to do what, Paul? Build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And so with his word, we're sanctified, set apart from uncleanness. Writing the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, Paul said, Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. He talked about those who were guilty of unrighteousness in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. We took an exhaustive look at that this morning. How that fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And yet he said, such were some of you. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. How did that happen? When many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Acts 18:8. And so with his word, they were made clean. With his word, they were sanctified. And with his word, you and I too can be made clean. But something else that has taken place and will take place with his word. With his word, the dead are raised. If you go back to the book of John in chapter 11 and read about the story of Lazarus, you'll find that with his word, Lazarus was raised to life after being dead 4 days. In John 11 and in verse 43, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What great power there is in the word of our Lord. And the same voice that caused Lazarus to come forth will raise all that are in the graves at the last day. In John 5, 28 and 29, Jesus said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil under the resurrection of damnation. And so when it comes time for us to go the way of all the earth and our body is put back into the earth from whence it came, we can rest with the assurance that there is coming a day in the which our grave, and not just ours, but all the graves in that cemetery and all the cemeteries of the world open, over, will burst open and the dead will come forth. As Paul talked about in the book of Acts 24, as he reasoned. He talked about the fact that there is a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust, Acts 24, and in verse 15. And that'll happen with his word. But then finally, with his word, the Bible teaches that we're going to be judged. There's coming a day of judgment. The Old Testament looked forward to that. Ecclesiastes 12 and Solomon tried to find out what was good for men to do here on earth under the sun. And he experienced life in different ways. And he came to the conclusion, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. And so he knew there's going to be a day of judgment. And the New Testament looks forward to that day. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to all that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And the scriptures teach that the standard of judgment is going to be his word. With his word, we're going to either be rewarded with eternal life or everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. For in John 12 and in verse 48, Jesus made this statement, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so the word that had the power to cleanse that leper and to heal that centurion's servant and to cause that fever to depart from Peter's wife's mother, and to cause those spirits to come out and all manner of sickness and disease to be healed, has the same power to judge us and is going to determine our eternal destiny. Either we'll hear him say, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord, or depart from me, I never knew you. Sentenced into everlasting punishment, as represented in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, where Jesus is compared to a shepherd dividing his sheep from the goats. May God help each one of us to appreciate his word, to have great respect for his word, to submit to his word, to obey his word, so that we can be among those sheep on the right hand who are rewarded with life eternal. Such a lesson as this that calls attention to his word should instill within us great respect for his word and hopefully we will leave with the disposition that Simon had in Luke chapter 5 when he had been fishing. And in verse 4, the Lord said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon, answering, said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." One might think, well, what's the use? We've fished all night and we haven't taken anything. It's not going to do any good. And after all, what does he know about fishing? I'm the expert fisherman. That's my business. But you know, he said, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." That's the kind of respect I need to have for the Lord and his word. There may be things that he says to us through his word that we don't understand. That is, we don't understand the benefit of it. Maybe we don't see the wisdom behind it. It might not make any sense to us. We might think, well, I'm not sure if that'd do any good or not. But you know, we need to have that faith that Simon had, "Nevertheless, at thy word." And when he submitted to the word of the Lord, he enclosed a great multitude of fish. And that's obedience, doing what his word teaches us to do. Hebrews 5:9 says of Jesus that he is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Recognizing the great power of his word, would you hear his word? As faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 verse 17. And would you believe on him through his word? Jesus said, "If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins," John 8 and verse 24. And would you allow his word to move you to repentance? He said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13, 3 and 5. Would you confess him as he, through his word, calls upon us to do? And he, with his word, has promised that if we'll confess him before man, what's he going to do? Confess us before the Father, Matthew 10, 32. And I can't think of a better example than when a man traveling to worship and headed back home from Jerusalem, when he heard preaching about Jesus, he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. With his word, he teaches the necessity of being baptized like that. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16, 16. And we would invite you to be baptized today. We'll take you to a place of water, and upon the confession of your faith, be happy to baptize you for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've done that, but you've not been faithful in keeping his word. There's sin in your life that you need to repent of. Having respect for his word, would you be willing to turn from that in repentance and ask for God's forgiveness? Like Peter said to Simon, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." It's with his word that we are saved. As James said in James 1:21, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." May we realize that his word is able to do what no one else's word can do. With that, we offer to you the Lord's invitation while we stand and sing the song, "Won't You Come?"